Hi, it's Jamila King here with a Friday extra for Mother Jones podcast listeners to wrap up this wild and history-making week. We always say that in Trump's America, but it's always true. A chat with our reporter, Matt Cohen, who was covering the insurrection as it unfolded on Wednesday on the ground.
It was the scene of one of the darkest days in American history, a failed insurrection.
It began with large crowds.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol.
A real firsthand account of what it was like to see mobs of Trump supporters try to overtake the U.S. Capitol.
We were just told that there has been tear gas in the rotunda, and we're being instructed to each of us get gas masks that are under our seats.
We saw that she was severely injured and bleeding, and we watched as paramedics fought to try and save her life, only to learn later that she lost it.
Matt, welcome to the Mother Jones podcast.
Thanks for having me, Jamila.
Okay, Matt, how are you doing?
Physically okay, a little bit emotionally shook from the events of this week, as I'm sure a lot of people are.
Matt, take us to the scene that day. When did you get to the Capitol and why were you there?
I actually got to the National Mall just south of the White House first before I got to the Capitol about 9 a.m., The beginning of the rally was being held at the Ellipse just outside the White House. And I was there for a few hours before I even got to the Capitol. And the scene was the complete opposite of what we saw hours later at the Capitol. There were, I would say, you know, more than 10,000 Trump supporters just kind of milling around. The loudspeakers were playing Backstreet Boys and Celine Dion. And, you know, the crowd was overwhelmingly white and male. A good number of them were dressed in paramilitary gear. And I had overheard some groups of people trying to encourage other people to storm the Capitol later that afternoon. And I remember, I think I tweeted something about it that, like, you know, this is concerning, but I doubt this would happen. And then I'd say probably around noon is when I headed to the Capitol grounds and it was empty. And I just sort of hung out there for a while, knowing that the rally at the Ellipse was going to be marching here soon. And I'd say maybe it was around one or two when people started coming, and almost immediately the barrier was gone. The first barrier was gone.
When you say the barrier was gone, how did you know that it was gone? Like, what did the barriers look like? And were people climbing over things? Like, what was happening?
Well, I was right next to it. So there was about four layers of fencing, very like 2-3 foot fencing around the Capitol grounds. And I was standing by the first one because no one could get past that in the beginning. And, you know, almost as soon as people got there, they just knocked it over. There was extremely minimal mechanisms for preventing people from getting over it. You know, some people I saw started taking the fencing and throwing it towards cops and using it to push forward. I've covered a lot of protests, and a lot of times law enforcement puts these kind of barriers as, I guess, you know, a false sense of protection, or thinking that people are going to abide by them. And this crowd just absolutely, without hesitation, just barreled right through them.
That seems like the moment where you sense that things were getting violent, right?
Yeah, that was sort of my oh crap moment. Like I said, I've covered a lot of protests. I kind of know how these things go, but it was in that moment when I knew that this was going to be different and something bad was going to happen.
You've covered lots of protests, but how was this one different?
I mean, you had a crowd of thousands of people who were there with one goal in mind and motivated by the president of the United States to accomplish that goal by any means necessary. I remember hearing people shouting just before they took the first barrier, you know, this is it. We're putting our lives on the line for this. No one gets out alive. I mean, I think it's safe to say that a good number of the people there thought this was their war, that this is the beginning of a battle for them. And that is something that I've never really seen, even at protests where police and protesters have clashed. You know, usually the protesters are fighting back out of their own self-defense. This is one of the first times where the protesters were the ones who were leading the charge. They wanted to cause violence and destruction. I mean, that was the goal hours before they even got to the Capitol.
That's interesting. I mean, that's so important, I think, given a lot of the comparisons that Trump supporters are making between these protests and BLM protests over the summer. You had a press pass, and normally that's kind of a security blanket during protests and big, big news moments. What did having a press pass feel like this time?
It felt like something that I had to hide and make sure no one saw. Yeah, like you said, for a lot of journalists who cover these protests, that is sort of like a security badge that in a way protects them from violence from police or other protesters who are caught up in the moment. It's sort of the thing that gives you access to be there and protection from whatever danger is happening. And I kept that thing hidden the entire time I was there. I mean, Trump for the past 4 years has put a target on the back of reporters in his rhetoric, and his supporters have eaten that up every step of the way. And this really felt like the first time that if I had been wearing my press badge, especially when things got hairy, I would have been a target. If people knew that I was a reporter, I do feel like I would have been threatened or a target of violence.
Did anyone threaten you when they saw the press pass?
No one had seen the press pass, but I did get threatened earlier in the day before the main crowd got to the Capitol. I was wandering around the National Mall and found a large group of Proud Boys who were marching on their own toward the Capitol. You know, I was tweeting and filming them from what I thought was a safe distance when all of a sudden I felt someone come up behind me, almost like breathing on my neck. And I turned and this guy looked me dead in the eyes and said, "What are you doing?" And I explained that I'm a reporter for Mother Jones and I'm documenting this. And he said, "But what are you posting?" I said, "I'm putting this on Twitter." And at that point, I started to walk away. And, you know, he just said, "You're going to get it. You know, you better get out of here. You're going to get it." And that was the only time that I felt directly threatened because of being a reporter.
Give us a sense of what you knew and how you knew folks had actually entered the Capitol building.
That's interesting, actually. I think, you know, you and other people watching these events fold on TV and elsewhere probably heard about it before I did. I believe it was at that moment when I had finally met up with my colleague, Dan Friedman, and we were sort of milling about just outside the Capitol when people started cheering. I mean, it sounded like, you know, people cheering as if like the home team just scored a touchdown or something, and everyone just started shouting, "We got in, we got in." And that was, you know, the second "oh crap" moment of the day when we realized that what we thought was impossible had happened, that the protesters had broken into the Capitol. And at this moment, people were climbing up the walls, scaling the stone walls of the Capitol to try to jump onto the balcony. I mean, it truly at that moment looked like the Capitol was under siege.
How did this change you as a reporter?
That's something that I'm still sort of grappling with. You know, as I said before, this is really the first time that I have felt unsafe as a reporter at a rally. And we've seen examples of this all throughout the Trump administration, you know, reporters covering rallies, getting harassed by Trump supporters all over the place. But even in those instances, reporters are identifying themselves. They know that having clearly identified credentials will protect them from true harm coming from them. I mean, this is the first time that I did not feel that way. And it's something that, you know, covering these types of rallies going forward, I think I and other reporters will need to think about how you present yourself and how you navigate these sort of crowds when you yourself can be a target.
Matt, thank you so much for joining the Mother Jones podcast to tell us about this experience. I'm so happy that you're safe.
Thank you, Jamila. Thanks for having me.
And thank you to our listeners. We will continue to bring you the news and make sure you subscribe so you can actually get that news back with our regularly scheduled show on Wednesday. This podcast is brought to you by Mother Jones listeners like you who donate to keep our newsroom buzzing. Help us stay on the beat. Go to motherjones.com/give. From PRX.